Doctors Jeff and Susan Gegeras have spent the last 26 years growing both Cool Springs Eye Care and Donaldson Eye Care to the industry-leading optometric practices they are today. Striving to provide the absolute best healthcare experience possible, the Kegarises authored their first book, One Patient at a Time. With 8 chapters and 135 lessons, you'll quickly see why One Patient at a Time is currently the number one new healthcare released book on Amazon. Pick up your copy of One Patient at a Time today. From the in-office studios of his eye care practices in Nashville, Tennessee, it's As I See It with Dr. Jeff Kegarises, your source for eye care education and receiving the type of patient relationship you deserve. It is time for a patient revolution. And now, your host, Dr. Jeff Kegarises.
Welcome back to As I See It. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Kegarises, coming to you live from Cool Springs Eye Care, representing Cool Springs Eye Care, Donaldson Eye Care, and the host of practices that we provide ideally a great clinical outcome and great experience. I'm talking today with our chief surgeon, Dr. Mark Kroll. Welcome, Mark.
Good morning.
We want to talk a little bit about the implants. Patients have the choice when they have cataract surgery of choosing an implant. How long have implants been around? And I think sometimes people will call them an intraocular lens or an IOL, but we like to just, for this podcast, just say, we're talking about an implant. How long have those been around?
Yeah, so the history of that's really interesting. They've been around since about 1949 is when the first one was put in. If you got a second for that short story.
Absolutely. I think people would be very interested.
There was an eye surgeon who was in the field in World War II who would see fighter pilots who had crashed, and he had noted that some of the material from the windshield had penetrated the eye, but there was no inflammation, no infection, no reaction to it.
Basically inert.
Inert, right. Yes. And so that gave him the idea that maybe we can use that same material called PMMA for a lens implant to help the eye focus after cataract surgery, and that's how it got started.
Isn't that interesting? So the fact that you take something where somebody else might just look at that and go, yep, he takes it, applies it entrepreneurially and says, or creatively, and says, we can use that elsewhere. And that's really, and up to that point, you had really, because when we take the cataract out, you have a lot of power there. So let's say you ended up with a plus 15 or 16 unit pair of glasses, which look like big fish bowls, right?
Yes.
And then ultimately, we said, well, maybe we make that into a contact lens, but those contact lenses were extremely thick. And you talk about somebody that can't see it, that's now having to hold on to a really thick, wobbly contact lens on their finger. It was a better option, but still not as good. We don't even think about that anymore. It used to be we'd say, I remember early in my career where we'd go, well, we do cataract surgery, and most people will choose an implant. You do have a choice of contact lenses or glasses. And we don't even give that choice anymore. It just would be a silly thing to choose, except in the rarest of cases, right?
That's right. And I can't honestly remember the last time I performed a cataract surgery without putting in a lens implant.
Did they ever have glass implants, or did they find that those were too heavy and that you started with PMMA because that was the material from the windshield?
That was the material that was found to be inert. The material has changed over time. We have some fancier, more flexible acrylics that work really well.
Why is flexibility important?
Well, those first implants were very rigid. And so it just required a larger incision to insert those and required a lot of stitches, longer to heal and recover. And so now with the flexibility of those new lenses, we can inject those where they open up once they're inside the eye. And that allows us to keep the incision small with no stitches.
Now, you mentioned inject. So you have this special injector that kind of goes through this very micro incision we've talked about before, 2 to 2.5 millimeters. Do I feel that when you're injecting this implant?
No.
Because we're just talking about a tissue that doesn't really have any nerves.
That's right.
The clear tissue, the capsule.
That's right. It's not uncomfortable at all as that's being inserted.
So, again, let's maybe specify that. Is that what holds the implant in place? Or people will say, will this dislodge? What holds it in place?
So your natural lens, which is the cataract is your natural lens that's gotten cloudy over time. When we remove that, we preserve a very thin capsule that natural lens is being held in inside the eye. It's right behind the pupil. And so we put the new lens implant inside that same capsule so that it's held in the same position as your natural lens was. It's very secure. You'd have to have significant trauma to dislodge that lens.
So you've done, let's say, 25,000, give or take a few thousand cataract surgical cases. Yes. How many of those have you seen in your career that have dislodged?
Of my own surgeries?
Yeah, of your own. Less than a handful?
Any? I would probably count them on one hand.
Yeah, and I'd say in my even longer career in providing postoperative care, a similar number of cases, even at working at a referral center. You know, if we saw one dislodged, there was usually a major trauma or some other reason for it. It's so rare. It's not one of the bigger complications of cataract surgery by any means. There's usually something else that's going on or
that's
has
right.
gone on.
That's right.
The natural human lens has some UV protection to it. Do these implants have ultraviolet protection?
Yes, they do. And that's a question I get sometimes. Do I need to wear UV-protected sunglasses after cataract surgery? Mm-hmm. And there's other reasons why UV-protected sunglasses may be good, but after cataract surgery is not a reason to have to wear them more often because those lens implants do have UV protection in them.
And that's the one that you choose to use. Not all implants are UV protected, but the ones that we choose to use with surgery are for that reason because we're also trying to cut down that UV light to protect the macula and other structures.
That's right.
Most people do want to wear sunglasses. They're all of a sudden, their vision is returned and things are very bright. And they say, wow, I didn't realize. I kind of had this filter for so long. I need some sunglasses when I'm outside, right? Just for more visual comfort, if anything.
Yes.
How do you determine what power of implant to put in the eye? Because understand, we know you can choose. I can choose use a formula and make somebody super nearsighted after surgery, super farsighted. I can give them a lot of astigmatism, but most people want the complete opposite of all of those. Can you minimize my prescription so I'm less dependent on glasses or contact lenses after surgery? And if so, how do you do that? Is it just kind of I've done this a while, you look like this, or do you really use some formulas?
So it has changed a lot in the last few years and allows us to individualize the treatment plan for each patient based on their wants and needs. So we do get some specialized measurements during the preoperative visit, which includes biometry and topography, which helps us create a treatment plan that will correct their astigmatism as well as choose the lens implant power to target either distance or near or whatever we're aiming for.
Yeah, we have some really, really sophisticated, good equipment. Easy. You just look in and we take a picture basically of the eye, but it measures the curvatures on the front of the eye in all different meridians. And then also the other one measures the length of your eye. And both of those are very important as we evaluate how we might correct what type of implant to use. Most people choose what we would call a standard one-focus or monofocal implant that gives me vision at one distance primarily, right? Because that implant's not going to bend. Most people choose far away. Would you agree?
Yes, I would say 90%+ of the time people will choose to have their distance vision corrected at cataract surgery and then just rely on reading glasses for up-close vision.
I go, man, if you can get to that point where I'm... Now, again, much like LASIK surgery, we never tell people there's a 100% chance, but we continually look and refine our formulas to try to achieve what we call the planned after-surgery prescription. If we plan on close to zero, that's where we want to get, and we look at those, and we'll be tracking those outcomes to say, how effective are we? How often do we reach that goal, because that's an important thing. Then we feed back to patients on the front end. Let's say that I'm a nearsighted person at kind of the right level where I say, I can read right now. It's not as clear because I got the cataracts, but I can read without my glasses, and I like that. I like to read without my glasses. I really just want to put them on to see far away. Can you do that?
Absolutely. It's not as common, but yes, we can put your focal point wherever you'd like it. If you're used to having it at reading, or if you're a musician and you like to read music on the music stand at that distance without glasses, we can target those distances. Mm-hmm.
And again, since this implant will not bend, just like most people having cataract surgery have gotten to that point where they say, yeah, I need a progressive lens. My near vision is not as good as it used to be. The implants, for the most part, a standard implant, is going to be that way also. So if we aim you for one distance, we need to give you some correction for another distance, correct?
That's right.
On the other hand, if you came out of contact lenses and you had what's called monovision, where you were doing really well, one eye far away, one eye up close, but with both eyes open, very good vision for most activities. Can you give me that with cataract surgery too?
Yes, that is not uncommon. A lot of patients have done that with contacts, with one eye at distance, one eye at near, and we can target that after surgery so that they have that same monovision but without the contacts.
So you just would put that into the formula to determine what power of implant to put in. And then you do another procedure or another test during surgery, which is an extra one but helps really refine so that there's less guesswork, right? And that's called an aura during surgery. How does the aura help you?
Yes, I've been using that for years now. I really like it. So what that does is during surgery, I remove the cataract material so the cataract is no longer in the eye. And then I take that aura measurement, which allows me to get a good measurement of that cornea and the axial length without the cataract in the way. It's especially helpful for patients who have had previous LASIK or other refractive surgeries. But it's helpful for anybody who's especially getting any type of laser-assisted surgery or premium lens implant to really just be more accurate with targeting that lens power.
Yeah, a lot of people will say, well, I had LASIK. Can I still have cataract surgery? And the answer is yes. Early on, our formulas really didn't do as good a job at taking into account the change in the contour of the cornea, and therefore once in a while there were some, hey, we got your cataract out, not here at this office, but I saw this before, but it was a surprise. Hey, I'm back to being really nearsighted. How'd that happen? And it all had to do with, you know, predicting an implant power and the formulas weren't set up, but now much more refined. But that extra step with the aura is kind of where you're saying, hey, this is what we planned to put in. Is that still the best power? Because you can still tweak and adjust that at that time, can't you?
Yes, I have multiple lens implant power options in the operating room if I want to tweak it after that measurement.
So we go into surgery with the planned implant power, but Dr. Kroll has contingency options should something occur where he needs to change that power. And I think that's an extra level. It's kind of a hidden step that we use to try to, again, to just try to get better outcomes for our patients. And better outcomes mean people are happier, and they're happier for a longer period of time, right?
That's right. And it's just increased my comfort level on hitting that target for patients like we want.
What about astigmatism? Many of our patients have astigmatism. Maybe they were in a toric contact lens, or they know that they have astigmatism in your glasses. Can you help people with an implant for astigmatism?
Yes, and that's a big deal, because astigmatism, which is when the cornea shape isn't perfectly round, that affects your distance and your near vision both. So if you put in a monofocal lens, like we talked about, and you're targeting distance, if you have astigmatism that's uncorrected, you're still going to need some correction with glasses or contacts. But now we can correct that astigmatism at surgery with what we call a toric lens mm-hmm. implant.
Much like a toric contact lens, just a fancy buzzword for astigmatism, right?
Yes.
Or stigmatism, as many people call it,
yes.
Right? So we talked about monovision, and we talked about maybe giving, hey, if somebody just wants to be aimed up close, but we do have multifocal or extended depth of focus implants also. Tell me how you use those and what type of patients may benefit from those.
Yes, so multifocal lens implants have improved over the last several years as well. There's many patients who, yes, I want to be corrected at distance without glasses, but I don't really want to keep up with reading glasses either and have them spread out all over the house, right? Those options allow us to also give them near vision along with their distance vision.
So if somebody, well, tell me this, what's important for us to evaluate or for patients to know when we look at the eye, who might not be a candidate for a multifocal implant?
Yes, that's a great question, because not everybody is a candidate for all lenses. So for a multifocal or extended focus implant to work well for you, your retina, your cornea, all the other parts of the eye basically need to be perfectly healthy.
Mm-hmm. And stay that way,
yes.
Frankly, right?
Yes.
Otherwise, the combination of kind of funky optics on the cornea, the very front of the eye, or funky optics on the back of the eye, add to the funkier, more sophisticated optics with the implant, and it just doesn't give the quality of vision that we want for most of our patients.
That's right.
So you touched on LASIK surgery being more accurate with those. Can patients who've had LASIK surgery have a multifocal or an extended depth of focus implant?
So I would say that's a challenge. The first generation of these multifocal lens implants did not work the best with patients who had previous LASIK.
Again, too many funky optics combining, right?
Yes, but those are getting better with the extended focus lenses. Mm-hmm. So we are able to put those in patients who have had previous LASIK.
So how is an extended focus lens? It's because it's in the multifocal category, right? More than one distance. How is that a little different from a true multifocal, Mark?
So the way that I like to describe it is with some of the multifocals, you're basically splitting the light rays between distance and near. And some of those early multifocal lenses would give you a lot of haloing and glare with lights at night when your pupil's larger if you're driving at night. Mm-hmm. The extended focus lens, the optics are different, and you get less of that. You get less of those side effects that are bothersome to patients at nighttime.
Might not get quite the I can focus on a fly in my nose vision, which we wouldn't aim for anyway, but fewer side effects, right? And so, again, maybe depends on the individual, but maybe a better choice if somebody really is adamant about wanting more than one distance vision to do that with a LASIK patient.
Yes.
Than maybe just the standard multifocal, right?
That's right.
Again, your mileage may vary. It depends on the individual. We never make a categorical, this is what everybody gets. We very much want to customize that for each of your eyes and for your lifestyle, what your habits are, what your loves are, what your passions are, and how you want to use your eyes after cataract surgery. So how about the new eye drop that we've been prescribing, Vuity? Vuity tends to do the opposite of dilation. Dilation makes us blurry up close and makes the pupil big. This kind of cranks in the focusing muscle a little bit and gives us a little bit smaller pupil. Do you think those can be used for patients that have had an implant for far away and want to see a little better up close?
Yes, those can provide some benefit. Now, it won't give you quite as close an up close focus as a multifocal lens might give you, but it will give you a better range of vision and can last several hours throughout the day if you know you're going to be doing some near work for the next few hours. Mm-hmm. Putting a drop of Vuity in can help you with that.
So, and this is so brand new. We just started prescribing that in January of 2022. When somebody has cataract surgery, how soon after surgery would we say, I think we can try that Vuity drop now to see if it helps your vision up close?
I honestly would say anytime after about a week.
Okay.
At that 1 week post-op visit, things are looking good. I think they could try that drop and see if that helps them.
Are there any risks, additional risks, for putting in a toric, astigmatism, or a multifocal implant versus a standard one-focus, monofocus?
There's really no more risk during surgery or after surgery to worry about. It's just picking them for the right patient, for a good candidate.
So we're talking with Dr. Mark Kroll, Chief Surgeon at Cool Springs Eye Care and Donaldson Eye Care here in Nashville, Tennessee, on Franklin and Donaldson, to be more specific. We talked about cataract surgery effectively being the same procedure, yet the type and style of implant can be modified by and for what the patient wants to choose and what they want to accomplish in their post-operative or after-surgery vision. I think you've kind of highlighted a lot of very important things. Anything else you want to mention about choosing the implant or about implants in general?
Well, as we've touched on, nowadays it's such a customized process, and I get a lot of patients who come in and say, well, my husband or wife or my neighbor got this implant. They did well or they didn't do well. I would just caution people on comparing their situation to someone else's. It's such an individualized process. I would just say, come in, let us get the measurements, let's discuss what your wants and needs are, and I think we can find a good solution for you because everybody's a little bit different.
I think that's an excellent point. 99% of people that have cataract surgery should get improved vision, and so usually when I hear that, my dad might talk to me and say, well, Joe didn't do so well with his cataract surgery. Well, you got to be in a rare case, at least in your hands. That would be a rare case if there's a surgical complication. But more often than not, they might have had something else that limited their vision, and maybe they didn't have that preoperative discussion, the time that's so important to talk with the doctor about what will improve and what we're not trying to or can't improve with cataract surgery. It's a great procedure for taking out cataracts, but it doesn't cure other things in the eye. And that's a very important thing for you and your eye doctor to discuss, to have reasonable expectations after cataract surgery. After 25,000 plus or minus a few thousand cases, Dr. Kroll has a lot of experience with all of these implants. Come in for your consultation to see Dr. Kroll. He provides in-office laser as well as cataract consultations at Cool Springs Eye Care, 615-771-7555. And Donaldson Eye Care, 615-889-0147. Or CoolSpringsEyeCare.com, DonaldsonEyeCare.com. We're here to help you with your vision for life because we want to provide you more than good eye care, a great healthcare experience. And Dr. Kroll adds to that, not only a great surgeon, but a great guy. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate your help.
Thank you.